Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 18th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 157. We'll be reading two paragraphs, starting with the second paragraph that begins with said one of the visitors and ending in that third paragraph, I can't understand it. We'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the 12 steps, Lorraine N. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., KP, and Devorah S. The share ID for Sunday, May 17th, the special edition, is 14,639. That's 14639. And for this morning's Monday, May 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,642, 14642. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Don B. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater from the DFW area of Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Everyone have a nice day, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Lorraine N., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, good morning. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter A Vision for You. We're on page 157, starting with the second paragraph that begins with said one of the visitors, and we'll be reading through two paragraphs today, ending in, I can't understand it. So good morning to Kara L. If you could get us started, please. Kara, can you press star 1
to
unmute?
Good morning.
There you are.
Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Said one of the visitors, we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face as he replied, oh, but that's no use. Nothing would fix me. I'm a goner. The last 3 times I got drunk on the way home from here. I'm afraid to go out of the door. I can't understand it. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I can relate to our fellow who's there, and he's like, I know from experience. I've tried over and over and over again. And I can tell you how many times I tried over and over and over again. And the key word there is I. I've been in OA for 17 years, and I believe that all of those years helped me get to where I had spiritual experience a year and a half ago. And that time, the difference between me powering through and willing and doing, and it's not that I didn't work the steps before, and it's not that I didn't have a food plan before, it's just I hadn't been in the space to turn my will and my life over to care of God. When I open my eyes in the morning, my first thought is, how may I be of service? How can I be of maximum service today? And I know that my job is to continue throughout the day to make conscious contact with my higher power so that I may do my higher power as well. And how I do that, you know, I do it with the smallest and the most simple things, because that's where I need to practice those areas that I thought that I knew better, and sometimes I just don't. And so I ask God for intuition and inspiration, a decision. Sometimes it's, what should I wear? Sometimes it's, what should I have to eat? What's for breakfast? Should I have this or that? And I put one hand in one thing and one hand in the other, and I go with what intuitively feels right. You know, recently I was in a lot of pain or something, And every time it came to my heart, I had written up 10 steps, I had talked about it, but I had to feel the sadness and I would just say, God, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision to do with this situation. And then I would stop and pray for the person. Bless them, change me. You know, life, you know, I really believe what our big book says. Life is totally different. It is, you know, living in the sunlight of the spirit versus what my brain tells me. It's been such a change in my life today. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I had my own version of fellows that came to visit me. I had my Eddie. I had my person. And when I was ready, it was easy and it was right. And I despaired for 15 years. You know, how come I see this in other people and I haven't had this yet? I'm doing all the right things. You know, and if I can say to anybody, it will come for you. Follow these directions. Give yourself over freely and truly, and it will come for you because there is a solution today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs, page 157, beginning with the second paragraph, said one of the visitors, and ending with the third paragraph, I can't understand it.
Cynthia C.
Yeah.
Cynthia C.
Shelley C.R.
Shelley C.R.
Sarah.
Was that Carrie?
Terry F.
Terry, what was your first initial, Terry?
S in Oregon.
S. And who came before Terry?
Sarah.
Sarah
with an S like Sam, yeah.
Okay, and the first initial, Sarah?
S like Sarah.
Okay, okay.
Thank
and
you.
Then I got Terry S. Thank you. And then I heard K. What was your initial K?
P.
P. Okay.
P.
KP is in Paul.
Right.
Okay,
Sivia.
I can take one. Sivia?
V, yes, Sivia V G.
V is in zebra?
V is in victory.
V G. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I think I have this. Okay, Cynthia C, Shelley C R, Sarah S, Terry S, KP, and Sivia V G, I think it was. Okay, so go ahead, Cynthia C, please.
Thank you so much, moderator. May I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Cynthia C., compulsive overeater and food addict in Boston. And I am so beyond grateful to be on this meeting that I don't even have words. And I thank you so much, everybody who makes this meeting happen. And thank you so much to the person, I forgot your name, who got us started. It was just literally what I needed to hear. I was so hopeless when I came into program. I was so miserable and I was so hopeless and I had been in relapse for 20 years and I just couldn't put down the food. I couldn't on my own will. And the thing is I knew I'd been in program before differently, but I'd been in program before and I knew there was a way and yet I wouldn't give into it. I wouldn't try it. I had excuse after excuse after excuse why it wouldn't work for me, why I was different. And, you know, and I kind of got like a thunderclap in my head from my higher power to go back to OA. And, you know, and before I came back to OA, I was really depressed. I was miserable. I was miserable in every way. you know, and once I came into program and started working the steps, that depression and that misery lifted. Didn't mean I didn't have negative feelings. It didn't mean I didn't feel uncomfortable about things, but I've had 12 steps to guide my way, a sponsor, sponsees, you know, I work the steps like my hair is on fire. And recently with the pandemic, my entire life radically changed, just radically changed, as did many of ours. And I, you know, and my life changed in ways that I thought I could never live through. And there were a lot of changes that were extremely, extremely, extremely hard for me. And I found myself losing my connection with my higher power. I found myself getting depressed again, which I haven't felt. And just, you know, my house, living at home with things that are going on at home, just got to be overwhelming for me and hard, and I started to feel depressed. And what I've learned from program, what I've learned from this treatment for alcoholism is that I don't need to stay stuck. You know, I don't need to stay stuck. And I was able to reach out and make some radical changes. And I could tell, you know, I'm feeling disconnected from the 12 steps. I, you know, for anybody out there, you know, I reached out to my doctor and I started to see a social worker on Zoom, you know, because the 12 steps can't solve everything. And I today even started on an antidepressant. So, you know, sometimes we need help outside of this and not just starting to, and then I made a radical change. I came by myself. I'm glad I had the resources to do this. Yesterday I came to an Airbnb 5 miles from my house, and I'm in an Airbnb in an area I can walk around, and so I can have some time to myself. I made sure it was sanitized, but you know, and I just needed some space, because in this program I have learned that I don't have to stay stuck. I don't have to stay helpless and hopeless. I don't have to be a goner. There are things that I can do. Thank you. And just having some space to myself is getting me reconnected with program and my higher power. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you all.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Shelley CR, you are up, followed by Sarah S.
Good morning. This is Shelley CR, recovered compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. And I am, as always, very grateful to be here and be a part of this meeting. And thank you, everyone, for your service to make these meetings happen. This paragraph specifically, or I should say these two paragraphs, you know, I remember coming into the program and, you know, my experience over the years and how this is a progressive disease, and it had progressively gotten worse for me. And so, you know, when he talks about the last 3 times on the way home I got drunk, it's like, yeah, you know, I was at a place where, you know, at a time in life I lived alone. And it's like, I, you know, couldn't buy foods. Like, I couldn't have them around me. And, you know, now, and when I came into OA, my life, you know, I have a family and so, and a kiddo. And so there's lots of foods around me that, you know, don't work for me. But I, again, within myself, had no control over, once I started eating those foods, like I just kept on going. And so I am very grateful to be a part of this program and to be able to have found recovery within this program and allowing those things to be around me. I didn't believe that it was possible that I could have those foods around me and not compulsively overeat and binge them. But now that's what the reality looks like. I have lots of stuff here in my house, and this whole weekend, actually, I've been alone. The rest of my family has been gone, and, you know, these are foods that are sitting there, and they're not calling out to me, and it's only through my connection with my higher power, through working the steps regularly, through working with my sponsor, through working with sponsees. These are the things, and attending meetings and doing outreach, like these are all the things that keep me grounded within the program and keep me strongly connected to my higher power. And I know through experience, if that lessens and if I don't continually work towards more spiritual growth and more spiritual fitness, then I can lose that. I'm only recovered for today. Tomorrow I will wake up an addict as I did this morning. So I'm just very, very happy to be here. I'm always very thankful for the hope that these paragraphs give me, the fact that, you know, I can't do this alone, but as this man is experiencing or will experience, is that that can be done through others, with others, passing on how this program works. And if I work the program as it's laid out in the big book, I can receive the promises of this program. And I hope everyone has a happy 24 hours of abstinence, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley CR. Okay, Sarah S., it's your turn, followed by Terry.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Sarah S. in California. And the word hopeless, I hope there's newcomers on the line, because I didn't realize how hopeless I was until I came to the rooms and 12-step programs. I weighed 250 pounds when I entered the rooms, and within the first person that called me after a meeting afterwards, I just felt so uplifted, and I had a sponsor, and I had my food plan, and I had you know, these directions to follow. And within a day, I was jumping on the trampoline with my two young children, happy, joyous, and free at 250 pounds. And that was something that could not happen before I came into the program. I was just waiting to get old and be a little old lady in a rocking chair on the front porch. I just thought, this is just miserable. There's no answer. So the power of this program and following the steps and realizing there's a God, higher power that is taking care of me. And it very often comes through the people and the big book. And I can get really testy around this COVID thing and feel like, how dare you take my freedom away? But again, I'm doing the best I can. And if I look at what I can do, okay, I can't have this food anymore, but I can have this food. These are on my food plan. I can turn to a big book or a fellow in program. I'm sitting under the trees 10 feet away from a private property, no trespassing, wear your mask, wear your gloves. But I'm sitting in the trees in a safe spot where it's okay for me to sit, and I am okay. So I need to just be reminded to accept life on life's terms and reach out to people that I adore and look to the things that are in my solution, which includes the things that I can do, even though I'm a compulsive food eater and under the rules of this pandemic. So anyway, any newcomers out there, hang in there. It's really worth it. So thank you. This is Sarah, and I pass.
Thank you, Sarah. Yes. Okay, Terry S., you're up next, followed by KP.
Hi, this is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovering food addict. And, yeah, it's Monday morning. Oh, I look like got dragged through the knot hole backwards. But I am very grateful to be here, and I can relate to this paragraph. Not that I was ever in a hospital, but the hopelessness was not only written on my face, it was written on my entire body. When I first came into program at the age of 27, back in the late 80s, I was 280 pounds. And what really brings the emotions to me is, you know, he got drunk on the way home. I used to eat after the meeting on the way home. The pain was so incredible, and I was so hopeless, even in the rooms, because I couldn't figure it out, and I was desperately trying to control the process. What has happened since then? The hope, the recovery, following the big book and doing these directions, the food had to mangle me really, really badly for me to just say, I surrender, there's got to be a God out there. And these people that I'm seeing in these rooms have got a better life than I do. And so how do I do that? And it's by surrendering, and it's by giving up and just following the directions of what your sponsor tells you to do. This is such a miracle for me. And, you know, I no longer am morbidly obese. I'm at my goal weight. It's not me. I can't even explain it other than I tread water very quickly. If you've seen the pictures of the swans, they look so regal, and not that I look regal, but they look so calm on the surface, but underneath they're paddling frantically. And I work my program hard, because it takes that for me to be in recovery and to stay spiritually fit. You know, maybe other people don't need to do as much as I do, but I've learned as a chronic relapser that if I rest on my laurels and back off, the food is going to start calling me. So I'm really, really grateful today, and I welcome all the newcomers, the struggling members. You know, please take some action. Get a sponsor, work with a sponsor if you already have one, and start paddling. So with that, that's all I have, and blessings for everyone that's listening. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry S. KP, you're up next, followed by Sivia VG. Star one to unmute, Kay.
Yes, I forgot to do that ahead of time. I apologize. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. I'm going to tell you about my first meeting I went to. What happened before the meeting was my hopelessness. I had decided my crave food is sugar. Anything, cookies, candy, even bad cookies, I'll eat them, would eat them. And to the extent that I would hide food all over my house. And it's been almost 2 years, and I'm still finding things when I clean out drawers. It's amazing. But I decided I was not going to eat that food. Because I just had to eat. And I decided I was going to eat something healthy. I decided green beans. I would open the can, I would warm them up, and I would sit down and have a dish of green beans. Well, I opened that can and started eating. And I didn't stop until I'd eaten 5 cans. Made myself sick. That's when I knew for sure I was hopeless. Nothing could fix me. I was a goner. I even told my dog. I said, "Belle, I'm insane." My dog was sympathetic and tried to comfort me. I mean, it threw me almost into a panic attack what I had done. And I don't know where the thought came from, except directly from God. But I got the thought in my head of OA. So I Googled it, made a phone call, and the lady said, "Now, I won't be there that meeting, but I'll make sure somebody's there to meet you." I said, "Well, I'll be there." And I did. I called a friend and said, "Will you go with me?" My friend went with me. We showed up. And there were about 6 new ones that night. And so they decided on a group conscious to start over at the doctor's opinion. That's where I learned immediately that I had an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. And I totally understood. I thought this totally fits me. And I knew I was hopeless. But I looked around at these people, and they all looked fine, and they talked like they were fine. And they started asking me questions about my eating habits. And I finally just told them what I had just done a couple of days before. And they said, "Oh, yeah, we've done things like that." I felt like they'd looked in my windows and knew everything I had done. It just seemed so common to them. And I felt like I was home at last. And my hopelessness dissolved. And I had hope. And I have not willingly eaten sugar since that first meeting. I did accidentally eat it in a can of vegetables. Who ever thought about putting sugar in tomatoes, okra, and corn? Well, somebody did, and it failed. So I now read labels, and except for the accident, I have been abstinent for almost 2 years. Thank God. And I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, KP. And Sibia, before we take you, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 157, the second and third paragraph. Second paragraph beginning with said one of the visitors, ending in that third paragraph, "I can't understand it." So go ahead, please, Sibia VG. Star one to unmute, Sivia. And if you could all check your lines, because there is some noise in the background. I'm just not hearing Sivia yet. Are you there, Sivia?
I am. My apologies. Okay. I thought I had already unmuted.
okay, that's okay.
Anyway, welcome. Thank you. I'm calling in from far northern California, sheltering in place. And happy to do so to keep myself safe as well as my family and other human beings. When I look at this paragraph, I was hopeless. I started in this program. It'll be 11 years in November, September, October. I don't have the exact date. And I was hopeless. My family was all gone awry. I had to. My son was failing badly in school and in life, having serious problems. My marriage was failing badly. I was failing badly. I was fat. I was going to see therapists, and I had to give up therapy because of the treatment that my son needed. We just couldn't afford to treat him in psychiatry and therapy, and me in therapy, and my husband and I in therapy, and it was awful. And when I told my therapist I had to leave, she said, "Okay, if there was one thing that you could do that would make your life great, what would it be?" Oh, if I could just lose weight. I was 5'2" and weighed almost 200 pounds. And so she suggested OA. And for the first 3 months, all I could do is sit there and see the differences between me and these people. Although I did secretly admit that I was powerless over food, then finally I came into the program with somebody. I came in to work with a sponsor who worked the steps with me. And I lost the weight, and I kept it off for 2 or 3 years. Didn't really work much past step 5. And then a few years passed. I was in and out of relapse. And then I worked with a sponsor who had me really work the big book, read the big book to me. We talked about the big book. And then from that point on a daily basis, I worked the big book. If I wasn't working it by myself, you know, reading, I was reading with a sponsee. I made sure that I always had sponsees. And it's been good. I was ready. You know, somebody said earlier in this meeting that it was I trying to stop over and over again. Yeah, I did all the pay and pray methods of dieting, the whole group dieting, and it just didn't work. I did lose it. I came back. I kept going in and out of the hospital, so to speak. And it wasn't until I really found God and did it every day. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Sivia VG. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 157, the second and third paragraph?
Deborah G.
George.
Deborah G.
Karen M.
Deborah F. And I heard what was the first name on G?
George E.
George. George, okay. Okay.
Rowena K.
Was it Rosie K?
Rowena.
Oh, Rowena. Okay, and then Ricky M. And let's stop there. Okay, so I think I have the initials right. Deborah G, George G, Karen M, Devorah S, Rowena K, Ricky M. If I have that incorrect, you can let me know. Okay, Deborah G, go ahead and get us started here, please.
Thank you so much. My name is Deborah. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathy, for always having just a lovely chair. I hear your voice, and it's like, oh, good, she's chairing. And everyone else that has made this meeting possible today for all of us in these times. And I can relate so much to the hopelessness, you know, and that despair where I thought I was doing what I needed to be doing and going through the motions of step work and meetings for years and years. And it was because I hadn't truly surrendered did I get a long period of abstinence, just increments, you know, just or fleeting moments, and getting back into the insanity of what I was doing again, and not being able to stop, and then thinking that I could control it again. Just a vicious, vicious circle, cycle. And I am so grateful that I have a solution today. These beautiful, beautiful 12 steps that take me through the circle of getting to that place of abstinence and that connection and feeling that love and that peace of my higher power in step two, to where, you know, I continually want to have that feeling. You know, before I was looking for the feeling continually with the food, thinking that was going to do it. You know, and it did give me some quick-term relief followed by insanity. But when I did the step work and got the freedom and felt that experience, I loved it. And I stayed abstinent. You know, I wasn't seeking ease and comfort in food. I was seeking ease and comfort with the steps and that presence and that love of that power in step two. And I'm just so grateful that when things crop up, because they will, you know, they do for me, you know, that you make disconnect. I feel separate. And I don't feel that experience. But I have those beautiful 12 steps that help me to get back to that place again. And also understanding what foods that I can't eat. You know, I know what my alcoholic foods are today. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful to be experiencing that love, love for myself, love for God, love for others, and that peace that passes all understanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, George G., you're up next, followed by Karen M.
This is George from Cincinnati, Ohio, prostate compulsive eater. I love the fact in this meeting they only read a couple of paragraphs because, you know, some days I just can't focus, and this is kind of one of them. I'm thinking that they're really working step two is what, you know, the would-be sponsor is trying to do. And I have a would-be sponsor who told me to come into this group and ask a question. And so I'm trying to be concise about it. It's not the lack of hopelessness, although I know that that's step two in reverse. But I have that severe depression I heard other people talking about. And it's getting much worse. And I don't know if it's related to my foods. I really don't know, because I'm trying to get the outside help. These were not things I did early on that I should have done. When I say early on, I'm talking about years ago. So, you know, there's that mental fog. There's the, with me, it's physical pain in one leg. And I suppose I'm still fighting the food because, you know, I know if I eat some protein or something that the pain will go away temporarily, you know. But it's not really in my food plan, you know. Before I keep rambling, I suppose I could say one more thing. And you've all heard this before. You know, I had a parent, single parent, who, you know, food was love. But abusing food was also love. And so, you know, I honestly think her mental illness was related to sugar. I honestly believe that. And I see it in so many people. And if somebody, you know, can speak on that topic, I'd love to listen. Thanks.
K,
Kathleen, press star one. You're unmuted.
Okay, thank you, Mo. I don't know how that happened. Thank you, George G. And Karen M., you're up next, followed by Devorah S. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen M., and I am a recovered bulimic and compulsive overeater from Chicagoland. And I just really wanted to share that I'm very grateful for this program, very grateful for this particular meeting. And I've been in program for almost a year and a half now, and have been blessed with good physical recovery and great spiritual recovery, a whole big renewal there. And I was talking to my 10-step partner this morning, who I believe is on the line today too, and so blessed to have her. And I got her from this Vision Line, this wonderful resource that's provided for us. And we talk almost every day, and it is one of the most important relationships that I have in my life, not just in program, but in my life. And I shared with her this morning that, you know, I talk to people throughout the day, mostly program people that, you know, are having trouble being sequestered, if you will, sheltering at home. And I'm like, I have no problem with this at all. My eating is going great. I'm exercising. I'm talking. I'm really working on program, talking with my sponsees and doing book work and reading with people. And it's when I step out of the house and I see other people that I have trouble. So it just hit me, you know, when this gentleman was talking about being afraid to go out the door. Maybe there is some fear there. So it's something that I need to explore. And I just needed to say that out loud and put it out there so that I actually do explore it. Maybe this sheltering at home is a little bit too comfortable and I need to put myself out there in air quotes and even just reach out to family members more or neighbors, making phone calls other than program people and working the program in the real world, if you will. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen M. Okay, Devorah S., you are up next, followed by Rowena K.
Hi, good morning, everyone. And thank you, moderator, for being here and everyone on the line that makes it possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey, and nothing could fix me. I'm a goner. I know what that feels like, believe me, because I suffered from this disease for years and years, ever since I was a child. I was that fat kid. I was that chubby child, you know, who, you know, on the block, the kids used to call me Bubbles because I was round. That was my nickname, and I couldn't walk past that house because, oh, here comes Bubbles. So, you know, the pain and being feeling like useless and a goner, what's the use anyway? Because I'm never going to get out of this dark, dark pit of desperation and pain. And, you know, then becomes the follow that, oh, so this is God's will for me. So this is who I am going to be. I'm going to be fat. I'm going to be unhealthy. I'm always going to have diabetes and high blood pressure. You know, this is God's will for me. And so I know about being hopeless and I know about being, you know, a goner because I've experienced it for most of my life. But thank God 20 years ago when someone shared with me, you know, her experience and what she does and then her program, you know, I did feel hopeful. You know, this is a woman who I know who lost a tremendous amount of weight, and I started going to meetings, and I saw other people there who lost all this weight, and the message was, like, I don't have to eat again. You know, food does not have to be the option, but working these steps and getting recovered and developing a relationship with God, that is the option, and I started feeling very hopeful, and I remember being absent in just for a little while, and looking down at my body and thinking, wow, I still have 150 pounds to go. I'm still so overweight and so unmet, you know, feeling like, you know, but I didn't care because I knew, I felt like there was hope here, just being able to put down the food and getting absent and staying absent a day at a time. And the days turned into, you know, the days turned into weeks, weeks, months, and anyhow years, you know, thank you, God. But what I want to say is that I'm a goner today. You know, here I am today, 20 years later. I'm still, I thank God I'm abstinent and, you know, doing the deal. But I'm a goner today. If I don't do the spiritual work, if I don't take the time every day, each day, and seek God's will, and that's multiple times a day, you know, I need to be doing that. Yes, it was told to me, you know, weighing and measuring my food and staying abstinent, that's the most spiritual thing in the, what I could be doing today, but it has to go further. How am I working with other people? How, what is my relationships going on with my family? You know, we're stuck at home here. We, what's going on? What is it? Like, am I looking at my side over here and seeing what my wrongs are? Am I so easy to point the finger at other people and ask, and, you know, thinking, oh, if they, you know, only would follow my lead, then everything would be perfect, right? Because that's my stinking thinking. That's how it used to be when I was 150 pounds overweight. If only I was thin, then my life would be perfect, right? So this is what I, every day I need to be working on this so that I'm not a goner. I have hope here, just hearing everyone here and being with you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah S. And Rowena K., you're up next. Ricky, I'm not sure we're going to have enough time to get to you, but we, if Rowena, you want to cut yours a little short. So go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, it's Rowena K., compulsive overeater, recovering in the UK. I just heard the word hopeless. And I guess as soon as I move away from my higher power, which is what I did recently, I'm back from relapse, and I've got a few days of abstinence. And I, just looking back, I can see that's kind of what I did. Well, it is absolutely what I did. And I mean, to be honest, I don't know what I did. I just know that I'm an overeater and I was in the food. But I'm just really grateful to be on this meeting today because when I'm in the food, I have no hope. I am actually hopeless. And, you know, as long as I'm willing to keep coming back and to just, to do what it's suggested. But I need to be separated from my addictions, all of them, before I can actually do that, before I can work with other people. I have kind of run out of steam, so I'm going to cut this really short. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Rowena K. Okay, Ricky, you have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, it's Ricky, recovered in Philadelphia. Do you hear me? Clear?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The gift of this program, I mean, the first step is the feeling of hopelessness. And what brings us to the program? You know, when someone's struggling, we see the result of someone overweight and heavy and they're hopeless. It's really not the weight that really is the problem. It's not the food. There's chaos in their life, and they don't know, and they don't want that pain and feeling. So when I came to program, I was struggling with a good 60, 70 pounds of weight, but that was just really the shield that I was protecting myself because there's so much pain and overwhelmingness in my life, and I couldn't deal. So getting that program, the gift of the program, and having that now when life is so unstable, when there's so much uncertainty and we don't know what's around the corner, that causes fear, that causes pain, that causes anxiety. But having a program that I can wake up and I know what God wants from me, or even if I don't know, I keep asking and praying about it and putting one foot in front of the next, is a real gift. You know, right now I have a structure of a food plan, but that's not what keeps me recovered. Recovered is connecting with my higher power and reaching out to people. When before I would sit and just binge and watch movies and just stay in it and not stay in it and run away from my pain. Now I can sit in the pain, sit in the fear and the anxiety. Right now my house is messy, and that's one of the biggest triggers, but I can reach out and make a phone call or listen to a meeting and really just hear, feel God's presence everywhere and everything. I'm fed up that. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Ricky. Excuse me. That was perfect timing. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to, if someone could check your phone, please, you're unmuted. Special thanks to Shelley E., Lorraine N., Kara L., KP, Devorah S., Janice PM, Dawn B. on Team Tuesday, and Mo, our backup person there today. And So we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. So Devorah S., if you could please read a vision for you. Devorah,
and here I am. Yes, okay. Here I am, 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.